Now, last week, the government bravely announced that the national broadband network would cost more than they'd originally said, by the tune of 3 or 4% in terms of capital expenditure. But this could be just the beginning. Shadow Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull says there's potential for a disastrous blowout in the cost of the project, and it will gouge consumers to recover those costs. Now, I did a podcast for the website ZDNet about this very subject last week, but of course, I can't interview myself. So instead, let's talk to another technology podcaster, Stilgarian. Now, he also does a podcast called Patch Monday on ZDNet. Now, Stilgarian, it's very early days. I guess putting up the costs so early on for the National Broadband Network has got a few people concerned, hasn't it?
Well, only stupid people and people who haven't bothered reading the paperwork, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And I say that really quite deliberately, because, I mean, there we have, look, Malcolm Turnbull, he's the opposition spokesperson on communications. His job is to make the National Broadband Network sound like the worst disaster that could possibly befall Western civilization. And so, you know, words like reckless come into things, and gouging and disaster and all of that.
Mm.
But if you kind of move this out of the realm of party political fighting and into a realm that might have, you know, some facts and some numbers in it, here's what I got out of looking at the figures that came out of NBN Co. Last week. That there has been a cost variation, this is the neutral way of putting it, the cost has changed by 3.9%. Now, if you talk to the big accounting firm, KPMG, and they talk about, you know, before you start a project, you estimate the costs, and then you see how the costs actually play out, anything within 5% is considered a highly accurate cost prediction.
Mm. And that I think is starting from a point where you've got all your ducks in a row at the beginning, which of course, when the NBN costs were originally put together, I mean, a lot has changed since then.
Well, that's right. It took a lot longer than was originally imagined to negotiate with Telstra about, you know, how we would deal with the shutdown of Telstra's copper network, which is what the NBN is replacing. And, you know, that has delayed, if you like, the starting point by 9 months.
Yeah.
And yet NBN Co. is saying that, well, we'll actually be late finishing by 6 months. So they'll be able to catch up 3 months in there somewhere, they reckon. And all of those costs were put together before they even had accurate maps of, like, where everyone lives. Where are the apartment buildings in Australia that we have to connect to? If we're connecting to 10 million premises, which I think is, you know, the number, give or take a couple of million, I mean, you know, do you happen to have an accurate map of all 10 million buildings in Australia that you can kind of measure the distance to and calculate the cost?
Well, so Telstra did, of course, and that was because Telstra has wires connecting them all, and that was part of the agreement, wasn't it? And that 9 month delay, I mean, we have to point out that the ACCC had a hand in this as well. The regulator was there to try to find out whether, in fact, this was in the public interests or not.
Oh, that's right. And in fact, the entire network structure—I shouldn't say the entire network. The infrastructure of the NBN had to be changed. That's a bit over dramatic, but there were points of interconnect between NBN Co's network and, like, all of the retail telecommunications providers that you and I are going to do business with. Now, the NBN's original plan was to have 14 of those locations, and what's it ended up being? Over 100.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, the goalposts have moved somewhat, haven't they?
They have, both, you know, in terms of all of that stuff, in terms of, well, now NBN Co. has to go out to the market and say, look, we would like to tender companies to get in trucks and get trench diggers and dig holes and lay cables. And I think it's got to be remembered that more than 70% of the entire cost of the National Broadband Network is a civil engineering project. It's blokes in trucks.
Mm.
And, you know, that's a highly variable thing. The price goes up in times of high demand. We do have a mining boom, apparently. It goes boom, it does. And in the mine, lines across.
And then rocks fly everywhere. Yeah.
They do, and then they put them in trucks and ship them off to China and Japan. And, you know, some large blokes in Queensland and Western Australia, and large women for that matter, roll in the money.
Yeah, exactly.
But that means that there's a high demand for blokes with trucks. And so, you know, the price goes up. This is called the free market economy, apparently, and this is a good thing. This is a terrific thing for us to have. It allows you and I to talk on the telephone for, you know, about the price of what the average East African earns in an entire year.
but I mean, are we going,
doesn't sound so flash when you look at it like that if you're an East African, does it?
No, not at all. No, it just makes our phone calls seem very expensive. But I mean, it is interesting how this whole thing's been politicized. And I guess it all gets down to, I mean, two fundamental questions, really, doesn't it? One is, irrespective of the price, do we need it? And then the second question is, if we do need it, at what price do we need it? And then we always get into that question of cross-subsidization. So, and this is what
This
is what I find curious about this whole thing, is because we have the opposition here saying, look, we think it can be done cheaper, and we don't like this idea of cross-subsidization. So to me, that means that if they're going to provide services in the bush or in regional Australia, and they're not going to cross-subsidize it, then that means they've got to directly subsidize it, and if it's going to be a price that people can afford. And isn't that going to make the whole solution more expensive?
Well, one would think. I mean, this is where it gets to what my high school teachers would say, can we see you're working out? You know, I mean, this stuff is done with this incredibly complicated modern technology called arithmetic. And, you know, I think NBNCo has put, you know, big slabs of their arithmetic on the table. We've probably seen more detailed costing and analysis of the NBN than we have in any government project in a long time. And it's certainly under political scrutiny. I mean, someone only needs to scratch their bum at over in North Sydney, and every politician is piling on to have their opinion about how this is a disaster to our economy. There are two things there. One is that if the opposition says that they can do this cheaper, let's see the working out. And let's be very clear about what it is that you're offering cheaper, because at the moment, all of the political rhetoric is just this hand-wavy fast broadband. I mean, there is fast broadband and fast broadband. I mean, you know, how much of it, to which people, when and over what time frame. You know, unless you actually specify all the variables, you don't know what you're talking about. And I think politically it's very clever for Malcolm Turnbull and his opposition colleagues to actually not talk about that at all.
Well,
I think, you know, the political viewpoints are pretty much entrenched now that, you know, you can't support the broad concept of the NBN without saying, well, you're pro-Labor. You can't criticize it without being saying you're pro-Liberal National Party. You know, and really the facts don't matter. It becomes an ideological thing. And that's where you get to this cross-subsidy thing. The Liberal Party very much believes in the free market economy as a thing which will deliver the result in the end, or a result, or some sort of result. And look, that's fair enough. That's an ideological viewpoint, and there's a lot to be said for it, and there's things to be said against it, but, you know, that comes down to political belief. So if that's what you're arguing, if you are arguing from the point of view that you should not have people in the city maybe paying a bit more than they otherwise might to subsidise broadband in rural and regional areas, well, that's really something that you believe is a matter of political and economic faith, rather than anything you can prove either way. I mean, what's your vision for the relationship between rural Australia and urban Australia?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's extend it further then. If we're not going to cross-subsidise the broadband rollout, then let's not cross-subsidise Australia Post and make people pay the real
all
price
the
of letters. All the roads.
All
electricity.
The roads. I mean, these are infrastructure items which we do already cross-subsidise. I mean, we drive between country towns down, you know, highway-grade paved roads with, you know, illuminated signs at certain spots, or at least reflected signs, I should say. And, you know, are you telling me that that is paid for by the three utes and a you know, a clapped out truck that drive between those two towns each day? Of course it's not.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, isn't it, how it has become so politicized, as you say. So what's your read? Because one of the issues, and it wasn't their fault, but one of the issues that NBN Co faces and the Labour government now faces is these delays mean that the rollout, by the time we get to the next election, there's not going to be a whole heap of people using this thing. So there's not going to be enough people saying how marvelous it is. So it's going to be easier to pull something apart if it's not so visibly complete.
That's really going to come down to, look, people's political beliefs on those sorts of issues come down to whether people are willing to change their viewpoint. And there's been research done on how opinions spread through social networks. And there's a lot of emphasis that social media marketers put on finding the influencers of the people who tweet a lot or have lots of friends on Facebook. And if you can get them to talk about something, then they will tell lots of people and change their opinions. Yep. And there are actual people who've done mathematics on this, you know, people with computer models who have been doing sociological computer models for years, who say, well, actually, it doesn't work that way. It's more that when people are willing to have their opinion changed politically, or when they're in the market to buy a new car and they're not so happy with the model that they bought last time, or they're open at least to the suggestion of changing brands, then at that point, that's when they start looking out for, or at least absorbing, information about that topic. And if they're willing to change their mind, they will accept new viewpoints. And if they're not, if they're in the political context, you know, a rusted-on Labour voter or a welded-on Liberal voter, and isn't that little phrase there a giveaway of how the two parties sort of like to perceive themselves? You know, the people who sort of go on about that and say, oh, Labour government has never delivered anything on time and on budget, they're not going to now. I mean, that person will never change their opinion, no matter how much their friend watching the high definition video on the NBN tries to explain it to them. They will never ever change their vote. So it's going to come down to the kind of magic of those numbers on the week that people have to go to the polling booth, and that compared with all of the other issues which might be on the agenda that week.
Yeah, absolutely. And, that's what it gets down to. And how much money you can give people, how much wealthier they feel.
For all this high-mindedness, what does it come down to? They look at the policies on offer and go, well, you're not giving me $900, I'm not voting for you. Aren't we a pathetic nation, Bill?
I think we are. Hey, still going to appreciate your time. We're all going to be severely depressed by the end of tonight. Thanks for talking to us.
I know, I'll try not to hang myself. See you next week.